turn to Psalm 97 in your Bibles. This is a great psalm. This is a fantastic psalm because it talks about how great God is. Just take a minute and in your Bibles, just kind of look it over. Just put your finger and go down the whole psalm, 12 verses. Spurgeon says the psalm divides itself into four portions, each containing three verses. The coming of the Lord is described in verse 1 through 3. Its effect upon the earth is declared in verses 4 through 6. And its influence upon the heathen and the people of God, verses 7 through 9. And the last part, verses 10 through 12, include an exhortation and encouragement, urging holiness and inculcating happiness. Matthew Henry says of Psalm 97, verses 1 through 7, the first seven verses, he says, Christ's government, through it might be a matter of joy to all, yet will be a matter of terror to some, but is their own fault that that is so. The most resolute and daring opposition will be baffled in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord Jesus will ere long come and put an end to idol worship of every kind. I love it. In verses 8 to 12, Matthew Henry says, talks about his care of his people and his provision for them. He goes on to say, the Lord will preserve the souls of his saints from sin, from apostasy, despair, under their greatest trials. He will deliver them out of the hands of the wicked one and preserve them safe to his heavenly kingdom. Sinners tremble, but saints rejoice at God's holiness. I thought, wow, very well put. Those guys knew what they were writing. Spurgeon's fantastic. This all brings me to the fact that I've been ill for the last 3 weeks. I read a book. I don't know if any of you read it. It is total fiction. It's Christian fiction. And a friend of ours came over and visited us, and he told us to read this book. And Eugene Peterson says, this book has the potential to do for our generation what Paul Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress did for his. It's that good. Michael W. Smith, you know of his songs that he's written and sung, he says, The Shack is the most absorbing work of fiction I've read in many years. My wife and I laughed and cried and repented of our own lack of faith along the way. The Shack will leave you craving for and if this book is really funny, I laughed because the book portrays God in the strangest way, but it makes its point. By the number one, you think you're losing your mind as you're reading it. You think the author is really on a trip, but at the end, as I closed it and put it down, that's exactly what I craved. I wanted a deeper relationship with my Father God. I wanted a better relationship with Jesus, and I craved the presence of the Holy Spirit to be in me, around me, and surrounding me every day. There was just, it's just a little bubble that we really are supposed to live in, and Christ is supposed to live through us. Not out there someplace, but Jesus is really supposed to be living his life through us. That's the hope of glory in the kingdom of God. So as I put that together with my reading of this book, with the psalm, with Psalm 97, really spoke to me because I see and I know how big God is and I know how much he loves us and how much he doesn't really care for the enemy. He really doesn't care for the evil one or what he does or how he tries to mess up our lives. And he longs for a people who will have faith and trust in their relationship with him. And that's what's going to get us through. It's our relationship with him that strengthens us in any trial we're going through, whether it's sickness or confusion or stress in relationships, whatever it is, it's our relationship. And that's what this book is trying to do. It's trying to say we should have a relationship with our Father God. We need a relationship. It's not just religion. It's not just liturgy. But it's coming to a place where we want the presence of God more than anything. So let's stand and we're going to say this psalm together. We're going to do the whole thing this morning, not just one verse. We're going to say the whole psalm together because it gives us hope. It tells us who he is, what he's doing, what he's going to do, what he's going to do with the forces of evil, and what he wants to do with you and me as we are his people. God rules. There's something to shout over. On the double, mainlands and islands, celebrate. Bright clouds and storm clouds circle round about him. Right and justice anchor his rule. Fire blazes out before him, flaming high up the craggy mountains. His lightnings light up the world. Earth, wide-eyed, trembles in fear. The mountains take one look at God and melt. Melt like wax before the earth's Lord. The heavens announce that he'll set everything right. And everyone will see it happen. Glorious. All who serve handcrafted gods will be sorry. And they were so proud of their ragamuffin gods. On your knees, all you gods, worship him. And Zion, you listen and take heart. Daughters of Zion, sing your hearts out. God has done it all and has set everything right. You, God, are the high God of the cosmos, far, far higher than any of the gods. God loves all who hate evil, and those who love him, he keeps safe, snatches them from the grip of the wicked. Light seeds are planted in the souls of God's people. Joy seeds are planted in the good heart soil. So, God's people, shout praise to God and give thanks to our holy God. A great psalm? Yes. It tells the whole story, doesn't it?
Amen.
Huh? Pastor Kev, is that a key of the kingdom?
It is.
Is Psalm 97 of the keys of the kingdom?
Absolutely.
And everything that psalm means.
That's right.
He loves us, and he plants light seeds and joy seeds in you.
Amen.
In me.
And in you.
Amen.